ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कंठ 1 चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट 13 टू 15 ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। यू वांट टू सी दैट Bhagavatam chapter, Canto 1, chapter 16, text 13 onwards. Description of Parikshit Maharaj. You found that? Yeah, and there are three verses altogether, all put together. So I'll just read it because it's a lot of back and forwards otherwise. Tatra tatra prashrinva svapurveshang mahatmanam pragiyamanam chayasha krishna mahatmya suchakam atmanam cha paritratam ashvathamno stratejasaha snehaṁ cha vrishni parthanam teshaṁ bhaktiṁ cha keshave Tebha paramasantushta prityujrimhita lochanaha mahadhanani vasangsi dadauharan mahamanaha. Wherever the king, referring to Parikshit Maharaj, wherever the king visited, he continuously heard the glories of his great forefathers, who were all devotees of the Lord and also of the glorious acts of Lord Krishna. He also heard how he himself had been protected by the Lord from the powerful heat of the weapon of Ashvatthama. People also mentioned the great affection between the descendants of Vrishni and Pritha due to the latter's great devotion to Lord Keshava. The king, being very pleased with the singers of such glories, opened his eyes in great satisfaction. Out of magnanimity, he was pleased to award them very valuable necklaces and clothing. Purport: kings and other great personalities of the state are presented with welcome addresses. This is a system from time immemorial. And Maharaj Parikshit, I'm going to make a note of that. And Maharaj Parikshit, since he was one of the well-known emperors of the world, was also presented with addresses of welcome in all parts of the world as he visited those places. The subject matter of those welcome addresses was Krishna. Krishna means Krishna and his eternal devotees, as the king means the king and his confidential associates. I suspect that in one of the commentaries it's been mentioned, the Raja Ayam Iti Nyai, or Raja Gachati Iti Nyai, the king has come, or the king is going. When you say the king has come, it doesn't mean the king's just walking down the street alone. It means he comes with his whole retinue, and a band, and servants, and bodyguards. So when you say Krishna, it means Krishna with all his devotees. Krishna has descended to this material world, that means all his associates have come also. So that's the implication. You see, the Sanskrit commentaries, actually, even to understand them, you have to know so much culture and so much background. If you just read it with a then you may not catch so many things. It actually requires a lot of learning just to begin to enter into it. And generally the Shastra was explained by gurus, and they would fill in the details. That was the idea. It wasn't meant for reading so much. It's a modern habit. It was more for explaining. Hearing and explaining. Continuing the purport, Krishna and his unalloyed devotees cannot be separated, and therefore glorifying their devotee means glorifying the Lord and vice versa. Maharaj Parikshit would not have been glad to hear about the glories of his forefathers like Maharaj Yudhishthira and Arjuna, had they not been connected with acts of Lord Krishna. How about that? He wouldn't have wanted to hear about his forefathers had they not been connected with Krishna. Of course, there's no question of Yudhishthira not being connected with Krishna, but the point is being made that he was, Maharaj Pariksit was a pure devotee. He was interested in Krishna. So he didn't listen like an ordinary materialist might listen to his forefathers' great glories. Although nowadays no one has such a feeling of my forefathers were great personalities. It is there to some extent. In just like, for instance, in Sri Rangam, you'll find the families, they know their previous generations. And when we speak with Murli Bhatta, he speaks of his father and his grandfather and his great, very high esteem for them for being great personalities. We were in the house last time I was in Sri Rangam. I did one talk on Vishnu Sahasranam in the house of Parashara Bhatta, his descendants, who is the Sri Vaishnav commentator on the Vishnu Sahasranam. So they're proud of their forefathers. They look back like that. So if we see Padmanabh Goswami kindly came when we were in Vrindavan last for our Shravan Kirtan camp, so they can look, he can look back all the way to his father, grandfather, great-grandfather, they're all connected. The link is there with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then with Bhakti Sthan Saraswati Thakur. So the link is there with our whole Sampradaya. So they can look back and see, oh, great person. Another place, Gopi Balapur. And so many, where there's still good paramparas of family lines, they can look back at their forefathers. Gopi Balapur in, it's in West Bengal. The main seat of the Shamananda Sampradaya. And there's some in the king's lines there would have been also. Now the king's lines are finished. Going on, some are going on by namesake only. But they generation after generation, they were respectable and respected people. Still some namesake is going on. Whoops, I lost this. So anyway, going on. The Lord descends specifically to deliver His devotees, paritranaya sadhu nam. The devotees are glorified by the presence of the Lord because they cannot live for a moment without the presence of the Lord by His different energies. The Lord is present for the devotee by His acts and glories. And therefore Maharaj Pariksit felt the presence of the Lord when He was glorified for His acts. Acts, especially His saving Maharaj Pariksit in the womb of His mother. The devotees of the Lord are never in danger, but in the material world, which is full of dangers at every step, the devotees are apparently placed into dangerous positions, and when they are saved by the Lord is glorified. Lord Krishna would not have been glorified as the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita had His devotees, like the Pandavas, not been entangled in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So many profound points. Krishna could, well, He did speak the Uddhava Gita later to Uddhava, just in a peaceful place. But the Bhagavad Gita is more famous because it's shorter, and in essence, it's spoken in a crisis. That makes a difference to the whole atmosphere. Uddhava Gita, Krishna might have spoken even over several days in several sessions. But with Arjuna, it's okay, it's, you better listen, you know. And then you've got to decide, and the whole fate of the world depends on it. The world as known at that time. All such acts of the Lord were mentioned in the addresses of welcome, and Maharaj Pariksit in full satisfaction rewarded those who presented such addresses. The difference between the presentation of welcome addresses today and in those days is that formerly the welcome addresses were presented to a person like Maharaj Pariksit. The welcome addresses were full of facts and figures, and those who presented such addresses were sufficiently rewarded. Whereas in the present days the welcome addresses are presented not always with factual statements, but to please the postholder, and often they are full of flattering lies. And rarely are those who present such welcome addresses rewarded by the poor receiver. So the point I want to pick out of this is the devotees are glorified. That's the point. I'll go on with this. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manamapi Shatiputramatra Swarupam Rupam tas agrajam urupurim maturim goshtapatim Radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham Prapto yatsa pratita kripaya shri gurum tam ratosmi Vandeham shri guru shriyataf parakamalam shri gurun vaishnavascha Shri rupam sagrajatam sahagana raghunatam vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadhutam grijana saitam krishna chaitanya devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, so I just chose to speak on this because Maharaj Parikshit is, the subject is, he's hearing the glories of the previous devotees and he's very pleased to hear that. Pleased to hear about them because it's all in relationship with Krishna. So I'm also speaking about devotees, and as I mentioned in the last session, I remember Kalakanta Prabhu speaking about how we can't be on the level of Yudhishthira. We can't expect to be like that. So that's there also, but still devotees are glorious. It's we say Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. We don't say only Yudhishthira Maharaj Ki Jai. We say all the devotees. I was just reading today, Srila Prabhupada said, anyone can be a pure devotee. You just have to decide to surrender to Krishna, that's all. If you surrender to Krishna and spiritual master, then you're a pure devotee. And on that basis, Srila Prabhupada said that all my disciples are pure devotees. Because and he gave the example how they're dedicating so much for serving Krishna. So, with that meditation, I'll continue discussing about devotees. I remember in those first 2 years or so, I was in ISKCON, in England, from spring of 1975 until August the 22nd, 1977. I was based in, I joined in England and I was based there. 6 weeks I spent in India in 1976. And during the time I was in England, some of that time was traveling for book distribution and preaching in Ireland, but basically I was based in out of Bhaktivedanta Manor and Berry Place Temple. The two temples worked closely together. One is in central London and one's just outside London. So I say the names. I'd mentioned that or another point is that I said that I didn't want to harp on the what we could say the failures or the failings of the devotees. Not all of them remained in Krishna consciousness. Most of them had, as we all had our struggles and fall downs. Regarding this, I want to read something I read already before in this series from one of Srila Prabhupada's purports. Although a Vaishnava preacher may sometimes criticize others, Raghunath Bhatta avoided this. Even if another Vaishnava was actually at fault, Raghunath Bhatta would not criticize him. He saw only that everyone was engaged in Krishna's service. That is the position of a Mahabhagavat. So it's not a position to be imitated, but it is a position to be aspired for. as we're supposed to write on the platform, Madhyamadhikari Vaishnavas. That means we have to see what is right and what is wrong. Otherwise, we can't. One thing is, if we don't see what is right and what is wrong, then we'll be misled by what is wrong, and we won't be able to help others or correct others to get things right, and we'll be exploited and taken advantage of by people with wrong motives. So we, at our level, we do have to discriminate between what is right and what is wrong. But the attitude should be to, as Srila Prabhupada was very generous, and where others saw mlechas, he saw Vaishnavas. That was Prabhupada's mercy. About Maharaj Parikshit, I spoke about when the king comes, it means with all his servants, his whole retinue. So in this regard, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Shivananda on 23rd of January 1969. Srila Prabhupada wrote, regarding serving your godbrothers, this is a very good practice. The spiritual master is never without his followers. So to serve the spiritual master also means to be the servant of his disciples. When you want to serve the king, you must also serve his minister, secretary, and everyone who serves him. So it's the same point, that the spiritual master is also with his retinue. And to serve his servants may please him more than to serve the king personally. That reminds me, Rama Prameya. I was going to tell you. You told me that your wife is not regularly taking her medicine, so you make sure she takes it, okay? That just came to my mind. You have to serve the servants also. Your wife's also a servant of Krishna, right? So if she forgets, you make sure she takes it, okay? To serve his servants may please him more than to serve the king personally. So the spiritual master is not alone. He is always with his entourage. We are not impersonalists. We take care of every part of the whole as much as one should take care of his hat as well as his shoes. That's an interesting example. We take care of every part of the whole as much as one should take care of his hat as well as his shoes. Is that a Hindi saying or something? No. I wonder where that came from. Both are equally important for the upkeep of the body. I hope that you will understand this rightly. So, our Vaishnav culture is one of praising the Vaishnavas. So we should try to cultivate that. I wish myself I had more confidence in the Vaishnavas to do so. Sometimes we become disappointed. But it's not bad to be disappointed in ourselves also. Maybe if others look at us, they'll see so many failings in us. We do tend to see the faults in others more than in ourselves. There's a famous saying, it's in the English language and probably in all the European languages, because it comes from the teachings of Lord Jesus, that someone is he's seeing a speck in someone's eye and criticizing, while he's got a whole beam in his own eye. I'm not exactly sure how you could have a beam in your own eye, but if we want to look for faults, a good place to start is ourselves. Okay, so let's go on. I was saying that, yeah, I didn't have much to do with the women or anything, but I do remember that one Mataji came in one time. During all this time, I'd never seen any women giving class. It just didn't happen when I was there in 1975. But then a strange thing happened. One Mataji gave a class in the manor. And later I learned that she had wanted to give class. She was one of the early devotees, and she'd been outside and she came back. But then she said something very controversial. That she said that Prabhupada had said that after he leaves, all his disciples will go away. And bloop. And that, you know, that naturally, that just, everyone became, oh, really? It's like we're hopeless, or something like that. And then just after that, one sannyasi came through who he'd been traveling with Prabhupada for months. He said, well, I was with Prabhupada. I never heard him say any such thing. And then it was decided, it had already been an unspoken policy, it seems, but then after that it was decided no more women giving class. She blew it for the whole female. I never heard that they shouldn't give, but it didn't happen. That's all. It didn't happen after that. Probably they've started it again now. This should be the last session of my speaking, because many of them, I don't have much to say. I'm just saying names, and I can remember the names and the faces, that's all. One devotee from America, I remember, came through, very smiling and happy. His name was Jagajivan. There was another Jagajivan who was GBC member in South America. He was another jolly fellow. He passed away recently, but I never saw him in England. So this Jagajivan, I heard from him for the first time. What I later learned was Pascal's wager. He was a very philosophical devotee, this dude. So he used to write for Back to Godhead. So yeah, he didn't put it in those terms, but we're talking on the stairs, on the stairway. Myself and a couple of them, and he was saying that, what you can say to people is that they say that you should just live life to be happy, so what's the use of believing in God? So you can tell them that, we're happy believing in God, and if they say, well, you don't know, you just can't tell. So if there is a God and you believe in him, you go to heaven, according to the Christian idea. So we're happy, we're chanting Hare Krishna. And if it's real, we go to Krishna. If it's not, well, we lived a happy life, and when you die, when the body is finished, everything's finished. Prabhupada often quoted this Professor Kotovsky in Moscow. Swamiji, when the body is finished, everything is finished. Prabhupada quoted that so many times after that. He couldn't believe it. He's such an educated man, and says with such great conviction, when the body is finished, everything is finished. So, if you take it from the standpoint of agnosticism, we can't tell whether there's a God or not. Okay, if you believe in God and there is a God, if there is a God and you believe in him, then we're happy chanting Hare Krishna now, and we'll go to Krishna. So we didn't lose anything. We gained everything. And if there is no God, we didn't lose anything because we lived a happy life. And if there is no... But if there is a God... Wait a minute, where are we going? If there is a God, then you go to Krishna. And if there is a God and you don't believe in him, then you go to hell. So it's like, so from the point of view of a gamble, it's better to believe in God. That's the point. I'm not sure if I said it very clearly. So I first learned that from him. Giri Govardhan. Now he joined, he was 38 years old or something, and he looked older when he joined. And no one joined at such an age. It was very few. They're mostly in their teens or early 20s in those days who joined. Join means when you start chanting Hare Krishna, you join the temple, that's all. There wasn't much of staying outside and being a devotee. So the story of him, he's in London, he's from Polish background, he's a butcher. So, and a Catholic, hardcore Catholic. So he sees Kripa Mai distributing books in central London and starts harassing him because he thinks that Kripa Mai is from the devil. That happened to me once in Ireland. I was distributing books and a priest came up. You can tell they have what they call the dog collar, this white collar around them. He said, "That's from the devil." I said, "Oh, really?" And he looked at, I had these Ishopanishad books, and there's Vishnu with all the, oh, I see all the snakes is the devil. He had me checkmated in his own mind. Anyway, Giri Govardhan is harassing Kripa Mai. So Kripa Mai is close to the temple. He thinks, okay, it's midday. Why don't I just go back to the temple, take some lunch? And then, because he couldn't get rid of this guy. He was just following him and blah, 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 blah. So he heard. So Kripa Mai goes back to the temple and he's got this guy walking beside saying, you're in my, he didn't say you're in my, this is all the devil, you're going to hell, blah, 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 blah. Kripa Mai just walks in the door and the guy's still following him inside the door and still harassing him like this. And then I didn't see this, I heard this. Prabhu Vishnu Das Brahmachari at the time, he's there and he sees him, says, stop, he said to him just like that. And he was shocked. He just stopped, and he was so authoritative. Stop, he said to him. He said, what's your problem? And then whatever he said, Prabhu Vishnu just cut him to pieces. Then they took him inside. Cut into pieces means not like a butcher, but verbally. And you might get things wrong. People might misinterpret. You never know. It is possible. The history of foolishness, the history of religion is one of a lot of foolishness and misinterpretation. So, anyway, it was lunchtime, so they said, apart from verbally slapping people, whenever anyone comes to the temple, give them prasad. I remember Prabhu Vishnu was very strong on that, about everyone has to get prasad who comes to the temple. Prabhupada was very strong on that. On that point, so he turned prasad, and then Prabhu Vishnu went on preaching to him. And what do you know? He started to hear and think, "Oh, actually, you're right." So here he is. He's almost 40 years old. He smokes 40 cigarettes a day. He's a butcher. He's married with children, and he wants to be a devotee. So what to be a devotee means? What you move into the temple. That's all there is. There's nothing else. It's not that you go home and chant Hare Krishna. We never said that to anyone. We never thought of it. You want to be a devotee, you move in and surrender. That's all. So he did. And he struggled. Time to time he would go outside and he'd come back with cigarettes, smell on his breath. But he made it. And he got initiated by Prabhupada. Giri Govardhan Das. And again, I remember him in Kirtan, playing Mridanga. He used to go on Harinam Sankirtan a lot with him. So, another who was a little older, not so old, was Bhakta Dug, who became Dhruvanath. He was coming for a long time before he actually joined. And I used to get on his case a lot. I used to get on everyone's case a lot, whoever would tolerate it. Why aren't you joining? This and that. I got on his case for wearing a locket with picture of Radha and Krishna. You have to take that off when you go to the bathroom. And he didn't want to do it. And he didn't like me harassing him. Obviously he didn't like. So anyway, he was eventually, he was there, he went to India with us. I think he must have paid his own way because he wasn't living in the temple. 1976 festival. Eventually he was initiated as Dhruvanath Das, and later I got to know him a lot as he was much connected with Prabhu Vishnu Swami, and we lived in his apartment in Malaysia, in Penang, when we were doing book distribution there. That was later. He passed away maybe 10 years ago. I think I spoke something about him at one point after he passed away, because I knew him a lot afterwards. Akhandadhi. Can you understand what that name means? Akhandadhi. Akhanda means unbroken. And dhi means intelligence. Now, he joined just a little before me. He was not initiated when I joined. My first memory of seeing him is with his typical smiling face, big body, smiling face, on the traveling Sankirtan. bus, not bus, van. That was my first memory of seeing him. Now, he joined, like me, he joined around the same time as me. So it's unlikely he had association with Prabhupada any more than I did, which was not very, almost direct association, almost nothing. But someone chose the name to give him, and just what a name for him, because exactly the right name for him. From the moment he joined, it absolutely fixed in Krishna consciousness and with a purpose. He was on traveling sankirtan for a short time. He was actually a university graduate, which, like I was saying, there weren't so many in society in that time, and in ISKCON at that time. He just graduated from, I'm not sure where, from. He's from Northern Ireland. He probably graduated from Queens or something like that, in Belfast. So, and after a short time, he was given the task of enrolling life members and preaching to Indians. And that meant late nights, as I explained, because the people would be working late. In England at that time, the Indians worked late. Other people didn't work late. The Indians did. Mostly they had small businesses, or mostly they'd like to do their own business. They came from Uganda with nothing, most of the Gujaratis. They came with nothing, nothing except the clothes. The Idi Amin left, who Prabhupada said he was a big rakshasa, this Idi Amin. He allowed them one set of clothes to just so they, when they left. So they were all rich people, but they left with nothing. But they're business people, so they started again businesses in England. So Akhandadi would go out, and he'd come back not before 12 o'clock at night, sometimes 1 o'clock. He'd be up in Mangalarti every day. He'd do the whole morning program every day. He'd take prasad in the morning and he'd rest. And then he'd get up again and again, just fully focused. He was given that service, fully focused on it. And his idea was not just to, make life members and make money, but he really cultivated the Indian community. And later he was made the temple president of the manor, which service he performed for many years. And under his leadership, the manor went from being some obscure, rundown place where when I joined you couldn't afford the heating, couldn't afford to heat the building or anything, to being a hub of especially Gujaratis, and they adopted it practically as their temple, and it's a whole big history. I wasn't there because I already left for India, but there was the manor, the campaign to save the manor, and under his leadership, the whole movement in England and the Bhaktivedanta manor just assumed a whole different status in society. But he's completely fixed in his service. And you see when he's chanting japa very intensely with his head down, he'd be walking because he'd be up late every night, so he'd be walked to chant his japa. Completely absorbed. Really the right name. Always cheerful and always just completely fixed in service. Remarkable devotee. Really one of the great devotees of that era. Chitraketu. What do I remember about him? He's a poet. He used to write poems. Still does write poems. The other thing I remember about him from that time is that he wrote a letter to Prabhupada, which you're not supposed to do. We were told, don't write letters to Prabhupada. He can't handle, he has so many letters and so many disciples. But he did anyway. And he sent one of his poems to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wrote a letter back, appreciating it. That's all I remember from that time. And of course, his personality, smiling, dry British humor. Chittavinodana. I don't remember much about it. Chittavinodana. Maybe you remember that song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Vibhava Rishesha, that name comes, Chittavinodana. It means the same as Chittavinoda. I really don't remember much about him, except I can see the picture of him in my mind and his name and not much else. There's so many devotees. Deva Dharma, great cook. I remember he was the cook in Berry Place with his round glasses, soft Irish accent. And I don't remember, he went off to Australia when I was there, and I think he's still there around New Govardhan. Puranjan was in and out of the Bhaktivedanta Manor for some time. He was a householder from America with a British wife. He was doing some incense business in Newcastle or something, I hardly remember. Don't remember much about him. I do remember he was very tall, and his wife was very short, and she also had some physical disability. So that was good of him. He was looking after his wife, who had to go on these crutches. So that was very good. He was quite outspoken in criticizing the management and everything, and he still is. Then a couple of devotees, I remember, who they joined some time before Prabhupada left this world, but they didn't get initiated by Prabhupada. And they're both in Mayapur now. They've been there for years. One was Bhakta Alan Antadweep. Maybe you know him. He oversees, or know of him, he oversees the Mayapur TV. Last time he was in Mayapur, I introduced him to Hrishikesh. I said, "This is Antadweep. I said to Hrishikesh, we've been fighting with each other for 40 plus years." So he has a bit of an Irish nature. Prabhupada said that about when he met one Irish, Mike O'Grady, one Irish poet in Rome. Prabhupada said, "You Irish people, you love to fight." So another one was Bhakta Greg, who, even from the very beginning, he was very attracted to the idea of the Prabhupada wanted farm communities, and that's one of the things that attracted him very much in Krishna consciousness. And he's really, all his life, he's been trying to develop farm communities. It's really difficult in a society that's not much into it. Sambhadas, he was initiated later by Satsarup Maharaj, I believe, and he's still in Mayapur. He is doing some farming or whatever, something. Medhavi, he also from America. I was on traveling Sankirtan with him and Kalyapani for quite some time, just the three of us. Very quiet, hardly said anything. He would, myself and Kalyapani, we'd be doing lots of books every day. He would just do a few. But he'd go out every day, struggling, trying, really trying hard. It just wasn't his nature or something to stop people, and he had to be quite aggressive to do that. But he went on trying day after day after day, and really trying, praying, sometimes sitting in the van, he would fall asleep when chanting japa, then he'd wake up and bang his head against the metal, just as if to say, "Why did I fall asleep?" Later, he went to South Africa, and after Prabhupada passed away, eventually Krishna blessed his sincerity, and he became a huge collector for the building the temple of Radha Radhanath in Durban. So he just went on trying. He didn't complain and said, "I'm going to stop." Every day he'd go out and distribute books, and eventually he was rewarded with those results. His reward was his devotional service, but even in terms of results, he was rewarded like that. He became a very big fundraiser. another devotee from America, I remember going out on book distribution with him, just not much, few days in London, was Dasharath Pandit. And his style, he was saying Medhavi was shy to approach people by nature, but Dasharath was just the opposite. He was very flamboyant, and I think he overwhelmed the people too much. It was just too, he said, "Hi, I'm from Texas," and you know, British people, it's a bit too much for them. Anyway, he distributed books nicely. Ravi Lochan, I don't remember much about him except that one time I asked what happened to him. Oh, he left and went and married his girlfriend, which was scandalous. You're not supposed to leave and get married. But anyway, I learned later that anyway, he's at home. I think it was in Blackpool, somewhere up in Lancashire, somewhere. And he's still a devotee. All glories to him. Never seen or heard of him since. Divyang, I don't remember much about. Dhanvantari, I don't remember much about. Just, again, I remember the names and the faces and not much else. Tirthapad was a devotee from Holland. We had devotees from all over the place. Mostly British, but from all. So he's from Holland. And the main thing I remember about him was Saturday evenings at Bhaktivedanta Manor, he'd be in the kitchen. What would he be doing? He'd be there with a big pot of, cooking a big pot of sweet rice, stirring it. He'd keep on stirring it for hours. He'd just keep on stirring it for the Sunday feast. That's what I remember about him. Pleasant fellow, didn't talk much. You're not supposed to talk much when you're standing over a pot of sweet rice. Gaurachand. What do I remember about him? When I joined, I was wearing glasses, which are round glasses like this, which were like, but same as, maybe after I joined, I got a new pair or something like that. But looked like the same as Bhakti standard. So he said to me, once on Hainam Sankirtan in London, I remember he said to me, Hainam Sankirtan means we get in the back of a Ford Transit van, we all pile in, then we get out, which was illegal. And I don't think hardly anyone did that in London. Only the Hare Krishnas did that. British people wouldn't dream of doing such a thing like that. Mostly they wouldn't. Maybe the hippies would or something like that. So he compared me to, said, "Oh, you're like Bhaktisiddhanta." He said, "And you'll be a sannyasi." And time has, just a new devotee. I couldn't think of such a thing. But anyway, those words came true. Katvanga. Again, I remember the name, not much else. Halayudha, he and his wife, they were from New Vrindavan. From New Vrindavan. That was considered something special. So they were the cooks for some time at Bhaktivedanta Manor. He's quite tall and thin. He was into health food, which is a bit strange when you're cooking. It's a bit of a rasa bas when you're cooking for Krishna. And I'd never heard of buckwheat before, but we got to know about it when he'd bring out this big pot of buckwheat, which he thought all the devotees just soaked and raw, with no salt, and he thought the devotees should eat that. And again he'd bring out a big pot and a little bit of it would go. Hardly anyone would eat it. That's what I remember, as I remember. Haridas Thakur, Shastra Chakshus, was from Australia. Indra Nooj from Scotland. Janaka Raj, he was up from Wales, Karabaja. Keshi Damana, Atmatma. Keshi Damana, yeah, he's still there in Vrindavan. Mahabhuj, what a character. He's still around. What a character. Still chanting Hare Krishna. Mahaman. Maybe some of you know him. He's in Indore now. He's an Indian family from Africa, but not Gujarati, Punjabi. So I first met him, I spoke to him, and I asked him what he was doing, because I'd see him once a week. So I asked him, how is it you only come? And he said, I'm studying in university in Liverpool. So I asked, how is that? Because usually devotees, if they're going to be devotees, they don't stay in the university. But he told me that Prabhupada had told him to finish his degree, which he did. And then he joined. And sometimes I would go with him, or he was put on life membership. And then I was with him in India also. But that's after I left England. When I went to India, I was with him on the BBT Library Party. Mahakratu was a devotee who did get a lot of association with later in Bangladesh and other places. From London, but I can't remember in England itself. Ram Charan from Malaysia. He was working as a nurse with his wife Janaki. They joined after me, and very nice, jolly people. He used to do dramas also, but his dramas were quite funny. I just remember one line from one of the dramas he did. In the drama they were imitating, because often we see Indian people and they say, well, my grandmother, she only ate one grain of rice every 3 months or something. They'd boast about their fathers and how they were great sadhus and this and that. And then one of them said something, and then Ram Charan replied, well, my father was a Naishtik Brahmachari. Funny thing that had everyone rolling on the ground. Mahavidya, very intense personality, having a lot of health problems. I suggested he go to South Africa because of the better climate, which he did. One of the Matajis, Savitri, she was Indian by background, but she was lived in England. I think she was born in England or something like that. Very unfortunate. I don't know what happened to her later, but she was cooking in Edinburgh, and somehow the hot ghee went in her face, and the whole face, just a young girl, she was not married, maybe 20 years old. And you'd see like this acid attack, the whole face became like that. That's all I remember about her, unfortunate. And she was living in the temple in London after that, and going on with her service. Maniha, what I remember about him, he was in Berry Place talking to myself and someone. He'd been serving Prabhupada personally. And he was telling us how Prabhupada would chant his Gayatri, and then immediately, midday Gayatri, immediately prasad. Soon as Prabhupada finishes, you have to bring the prasad in, like that. So I just remember that thing, but I was very, we were all very happy to hear him tell us about how he had the opportunity to serve Srila Prabhupada at some point in India. That was one of the main reasons I wanted to go to India, because we heard that devotees would come from India and they'd tell us about Prabhupada, this and that, and talking to Prabhupada. Because in India you could. In the West you didn't get, there was no chance to meet Prabhupada or to be with him personally. But by the time I went to India, anyway, Srila Prabhupada was already enacting his pastimes of sickness prior to passing away from this world. So I didn't get that opportunity. He was already lying on his bed in Vrindavan. That's all he did until... No, actually he went to England briefly. Parampurush was he was the pujari for Radha Gokulananda. At one point he blooped, and after some time he came back and he was made the pujari again. And this happened two or three times. He'd go away for a few days, a few weeks, and it became a little scandalous. People, devotees were saying, how he's been outside, who knows what he's been doing, and they're making him the pujari again. But the situation was, it was, as it still is in many temples in the world, it's hard to find pujaris. In Vrindavan and Mayapur, you have to turn people away. No, you can't come and do pujari service here. But in probably most of the ISKCON temples in the world, you can't get someone to be a steady pujari. So he was reliable. He'd do his service. He'd be there offering the aartis on time. Just from time to time he'd go altogether. But while he was there, he was reliable. So he was given that opportunity. Punya Shloka. Very jolly, happy devotee. He joined in England and I was good friends with him. Then after a short time, he went off to join Hansidutra in India, because Hansidutra, I remember, said it was the GBC, and then Punya Shloka was a Tridentine and went off, spent some time in India. Then he came back. I met him when he came back also. And then he went back to his wife in Wales, and apparently he's been living there ever since, doing his, he has some land and does some farming like that. I didn't see him ever since. I would like to see him again. But he's a good friend, but separated by time. Rukmani Raman joined with his wife. He was unusual in the sense that he was a normal person. Most of the devotees who joined were weak. As I said, I asked Mukunda Maharaj, how is it that so many people who joined our movement are crazy? And Mukunda Maharaj said, he'd asked Prabhupada that, and Prabhupada had said that we have to be at least somewhat crazy to join this movement. So he was an accountant by profession, but he joined with his wife, and they did many years of service as accountant in Bhaktivedanta Manor. Very, very important to have someone reliable and sober who can do that service and who knows how to do it properly, especially who can, you know, so much money coming in and out and this and that. Shambhunath, he was a great devotee of Lord Rama. That must have been from a previous life. Sometimes we find devotees join ISKCON, and definitely there were Sri Vaishnavas in a previous life, and they become more like Sri Vaishnavas in this. I'm talking in the West. So he was a great devotee of Lord Rama. Very, very attracted to the pastimes of Lord Rama. He passed away a few years ago. What happened? My health was not good, and Mathura was one devotee. He'd been in. He's from Britain, but I think he joined in Holland. I never saw him in England. And he had been in India, and he came back to England. And then he told me about they have this BBT library party where you in India, and they go to the colleges and they sell whole sets of Prabhupada's books in the colleges. So I was very attracted to the possibility of joining that program, because I see I need a warmer climate than this cold English climate is affecting me so badly. So then Trivikram Maharaj came from India to get a new visa, and I spoke with him, say, what do you think about the possibility I could go to India? He said, yeah, okay, fine. You'd get permission from your local authorities, which they gave, because I was useless anyway. I couldn't do much. He doesn't remember that I went to India with him. The last time I spoke with him, he didn't remember it at all. So I went with him. And then I was supposed to collect by doing book distribution for for my fair, but then because of my health I couldn't do much. So there was another devotee from America who was in England who was had to collect his fare to go back to India, and he had to get a visa, which is why it came Matunga. So he kindly helped with the fare for me, and that I don't remember much about him either. Kedar, there was one devotee, Kedar from New Zealand, young boy, just he was there. Just I remember the name. And where are they all now? I don't know. Krishna knows. So many souls came under Prabhupada's lotus feet shelter. I offer my respectful obeisances to them all. Hoyachen hoyben Prabhur Bhaktagon. This song is there. That whoever was and will be a devotee, Tahara Charana Bandhu, Bandhu, what is that now? Vrindavana Basi Jato. How does that song go? Well, Vrindavana Basi Jato. I should know it. Every devotee should know it, but I don't. So I'll just finish with looking that up. Vrindavana Basi Jato Vaishnava Gon Pratame Bandana Kari Sabacharan. I offer my obeisances to all the Vaishnavas of Vrindavan. And that's so Hoy Hoyachen Hoyben Prabhu Jato Dash Sabacharana Bandha Dante Kari Ghash. Whoever was and will be devotees, servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer prayers at their feet with grass in my mouth. Brahmanda Tarite Shakti Dhare Jane Jane. Every one of them has the power to deliver the whole universe. Ebed Purane Gunagai Jebashune. As I've heard, all the Vedas and the Puranas sing their glories. Mahaprabhur Gon Shab Potita Pavan. All the devotees, all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are all purifiers of the fallen. Tai lobe mui papi loinu sharan. Therefore, with great eagerness or greed, I've myself, a sinner, I've taken shelter of them. Bandana korite mui koto shakti dhari. As much power as I have to pray, tamabuddhi doshe mui dhamma matra kari. I'm just praying with whatever power I have, but actually my consciousness is contaminated by tamagun, and all I'm supposed to be praying, but I'm just manifesting my pride and arrogance. Tatapi, nevertheless, mukera bhagya monera ulash. It's the great fortune of this fool that I can pray with happiness in my mind, dosha kami mo adhame kara nijadas. That I can pray with happiness so that you forgive all my faults, the faults of this lowly person, and make me your personal, your own servant. Sarvabancha shiddhi hoy jamabandha chute. All perfection is achieved, and one is released from the clutches of Yamaraj. Jagate durlabha hoya premadhan lute. And one can get, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, that which is very rare in the whole world, the wealth of love of Krishna. Mone bhashana purna ochirate hoy. So that the desire in my heart may be fulfilled quickly. Devaki Nandana Dash E Lob Hekoi. Devaki Nandan in this way prays very eagerly to the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpatarubhyas Chakribas and Juevachapatitanam. Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. Any question? Yeah. No, he's a Westerner, Scottish, Shambhunath. He had attachment to Rama. Yeah, if he was Indian, he had attachment to Rama, that would be not anything very remarkable. He's a Western devotee, yeah.
That is surprising. That is surprising without knowing the background, much culture and
all. Yeah, but after coming to Krishna consciousness, then he heard about, after coming to Prabhupada's lotus feet, heard about Rama, and he was very attracted to that. So he must be picking up from previous life. Tatratam buddhi yo, what a tatratam buddhi samyogam labhante porvadehikam. You pick up, the yogis pick up from a previous life, whatever they had. Akhandadi, he's still a devotee. I met him 2 or 3 years ago. He was at the Janmashtami at Bhaktivedanta Manor. And he's doing some business in Wales now. For some reason or other, he's doing, and as usual, very jolly and like that. As I saw him in Janmashtami at the Bhaktivedanta Manor maybe 3-4 years ago. To be a temple president in a big temple like that, it's not an easy job. I often think that the most difficult service in all of ISKCON is temple president in Vrindavan. Very, very tough in so many ways. You've got all these devotees who, everyone knows exactly what should be done, and they're all willing to advise you. Hardly anyone's willing to do anything. Advice gratis. And you've got the local mafia, and then all different mats and sadhus, and they're all trying to pull our devotees away and criticize our devotees, and so many opinions and everything. Somehow you've got to try and balance it all and keep the show running on. And all kinds of controversies erupt there. Very difficult service. You got to have a really balanced and patient approach to be able to do that. So like that with big temples in England also, to manage the manor, not easy, because you have all these Prabhupada disciples and senior devotees around, and they all think it shouldn't be like this, it should be like that, and this and that. And the manor did develop as wonderfully, but it was mostly as a so many Gujaratis became devotees. I mean, devotees, initiated devotees, 16 rounds and working. They'd have their businesses, but they'd be working hard for the manor and festivals and everything. So, but the preaching to the local people got sidelined or eclipsed, you could say. So there's a lot of discontent about that. But on one side, they've developed very well. Probably the same thing in Melbourne, isn't it? That the Indian preaching is going very, very well there. And it's really a spiritual haven for the many Indian people have emigrated there. So that's a good thing. Can't say it's a bad thing. But some of the devotees make, probably there also, they complain there's not enough being done for the Westerners. So.
Initially you were telling about to know the Sanskrit, you should know the culture also. Initially when you were reading the
Bhagavad. The commentaries are written with the understanding that people understand a lot more than we do. Sanskrit and Sanskriti. Sanskrit is a language. And Sanskriti, Bangla Sanskriti bole. Now, Krishtiyo bole, na? In Bengali, there's another word for culture, Krishti, which means like agriculture. It's sometimes used for culture also. But it's not exactly the, these abstract terms, they often don't translate exactly from one language to another. If we talk about Western Sanskriti, it doesn't really translate, because it, Sanskriti means that which is based on Shastra. We can say the Hindi word Jivan Shaili is maybe more appropriate. Lifestyle, yeah. But there's no real, I don't think that in Sanskrit there's a word which really corresponds to culture in English, nor is there any word in English which really corresponds to Sanskriti. They're used interchangeably, but actually they don't really fit. Then you have all kinds of worldview is connected with culture. Weltanschauung, some German word which means worldview, but if you want to sound like you're really a big philosopher, you can say Weltanschauung. Like that. So that was the point. The Sanskrit commentaries are written presuming that the persons who read them have deep knowledge of the whole of Shastra, culture, philosophy. It's just assumed. Just like you'll see something, they'll say Yata Dehali Dipanyai, according to the logic of the lamp on the porch, on the doorway. And you're supposed to know what that means. And if you don't, you don't, and you don't get the point. So Dehali Deep means that if you put a lamp in the doorway, it illumines outside and inside. Right? So in the same way, a word may be, one word in a sentence may be, it may pertain to or qualify, act as an adjective for two words in the same sentence. That's one way of, that's how it's used. Like that. But you have to know that. Otherwise, if it said Yata Dehali Dipanyai and you don't know what it means, then you know what it means. You're supposed to know. And if you don't know, then, or it may refer to, just like we have in Prabhupada's purport in this second chapter of the Gita, Lokayatikas, that's mentioned in the purport, one class of philosopher. So the, what's the other one? Vaibhashikas, yeah. And there's that, I presume that's taken from Baladev Vidyabhushan's purport. And traditionally people would know what that means. They're materialistic. They don't believe in the existence of the soul like that. So like that, but if you don't know what it means, then you're stuck. So it is presumed in the traditional commentaries that, you know, boys would go to, they'd study in the Gurukul and they'd learn, and this would be their subject to study all these things. They'd study at least to some extent Shad Darshan, and then there were the Pashanda Darshans also. You have to know them also, which includes Lokayatika, Vaibhashika, Buddha Darshan, Charvaka, Jain, and so many wrong ideas. And then in Buddhism there's Theravada, Mahayana, Yogacara, which mixed up with Tantrism, and so many different schools of Buddhism also. So many philosophies. I just think about Buddhism. Actually, the Buddha, he didn't teach philosophy, not much. His idea was, anyway, don't worry about philosophy, just get out of, or whatever it is, get nirvana. And but later on, the Buddhists, they had to develop so much philosophy to counter, because they were preaching, and then they had to counteract the attacks on them. And they developed very elaborate philosophies, not one philosophy, very elaborate. But it's all based on nothing. And it all ends in nothing. And they'll say that also. They say there's no soul. They say just like you have a wagon. Wagon. That actually comes from Sanskrit, vahana. Where the v is pronounced as w, and the h is pronounced as g. Still in Tamil, h and g are interchangeable. So, vahana, wagon. So you have just like a cart, say a bullock cart. What is a bullock cart? Take it to pieces. Take the wheels off and the canopy, and then the main, what do you call that? Plinths and the axle, huh? The axles. Take it all to pieces. Where's the cart? There is no cart. So in the same way, what is this talk of an atma? See, there's a body, and then there's the mind, and the ego, and it just all dissolves, and there's no atma, it's just a conglomeration. That's their idea. There is no atma, it's just an... It's just, if you put some things together and then you think there's such and such a thing, take it apart and it doesn't exist. That's their answer for no atma. They do believe in reincarnation. Who, what, why incarnates? Very difficult for them to say. It's just a stream of consciousness. Anyway, let's not talk about Buddhism. It's not a very inspiring subject. The whole aim is to become nothing. Want to become nothing? Maybe if the material world is so miserable that you might think it's better to be nothing. But you can't become nothing even if you want to, because jiva shurup hoy krishna nitya das, eternally parts and parcels of Krishna. It's pretty depressing, huh? What do you want to be when you grow up? Tinker, tailor, soldier, sailor, atomic scientist, astronaut, factory worker, nothing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Prabhupada gave us joyful life of chanting Hare Krishna and becoming Gopi Bhartur and Padakamalaya Dasa Dasa Anudas. Much better than being nothing. Insignificant, yes. Nothing, no. There's a lot of difference. Hare Krishna. Parivadato jano yata tata va nanu mukaro na vayang vichare yamaha. Hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilu kama na kama nirvishama. Dante nidhaya chernakang padayani patekritva chakaku shatameta hambravimi. Hey sadhava sakalameva vihaya dura chaitanya chandacharne kuruta anuragam. Hare Krishna.